There are moments in the day when you reach for something familiar, a trusted voice, a thoughtful story, music that helps the day feel a little more manageable. That's part of daily life on WSHU. News you trust, music you love. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Unilever's new Global Innovation Center will now be in downtown New Haven. New York's new state budget is already becoming an issue in the gubernatorial election. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's The Making of Us and Birdsong Break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Unilever says its new Global Innovation Center will be in downtown New Haven. The company is investing more than $300 million in public and private funds to build the center. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
About 300 Unilever employees are expected to work at the new Innovation Center. It will replace the company's existing research and development facility in Trumbull, Connecticut, which has been in operation for more than 50 years. Richard Slater is Unilever's chief R&D official. He says New Haven's been chosen because it's a bioscience innovation hub.
So it isn't just a choice of where in the US, it's where is the best scientific talent, the best ecosystem partners, and the best government partners to make something work.
Part of the funding is a $10 million forgivable state loan tied to the retention of workers. Governor Ned Lamont says it's money well spent.
New Haven is the hub of innovation. A lot of people want to be in a city area. We're going to make sure that Trumbull is made good too.
Unilever's new Global Innovation Center is expected to be operational by spring 2029. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York's new state budget is already an issue in the gubernatorial election. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vilkind has more.
Hours after state lawmakers approved a $268 billion spending plan, Republican gubernatorial candidate Bruce Blakeman was outside the Capitol denouncing its size.
That's obscene. That's costing every taxpayer a tremendous amount of money that makes it less affordable for them to live in the state.
The Nassau County executive says he would scrutinize large programs like Medicaid. He says New York spends twice as much as Florida, which has a higher population. Governor Hochul is defending the budget. She's touting a provision that will send rebate checks to more than 8 million New Yorkers.
So we are managing our money well by being able to expand programs, but also not have to put more of a burden on New Yorkers' backs.
Hochul has now signed all the budget bills. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut now has a law that allows the state's attorney general to bring legal action against social media companies that fail to take down AI intimate images. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The bill was signed into law this week by Governor Ned Lamont. It gives the state's attorney general power to bring legal action against companies that fail to take down intimate images in a timely manner. The law was in response to the emergence of non-consensual, sexual AI images on social media platforms. Users had prompted AI chatbots to generate images depicting individuals with minimal clothing or in sexual situations, with some cases including children. Companies that violate the provisions could be subject to civil penalties of up to $25,000 per day. The law will go into effect this October. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Redistricting has been in the news quite a bit these days. The history around gerrymandering is the latest on WSHU's The Making of Us, and that's coming up. Fire broke out at Penn Station in Manhattan early this morning. Five people were injured and rail service was disrupted. The LIRR was back operating at 8:30 this morning after some trains on the Babylon and Ronkonkoma line were canceled. Amtrak has accepted blame for the fire. A popular fireworks show at Lake Ronkonkoma that had been postponed from Memorial Day to tomorrow is now canceled. The move comes after environmental groups raised concerns about nearby bald eagle nests. Veterans from a local American Legion are against the fireworks, too, arguing that Memorial Day is a solemn day for honoring fallen soldiers, not a celebration. Environmental officials are reminding folks to share the shore, meaning stay out of shorebird nesting areas on the beach like dunes. Some beaches have designated areas marked. Connecticut law allows for the state to do this on coastal state property, same in New York. You'll usually notice signage or roped off sections of the beach. There is particular concern for the tiny piping plover protected under the Federal Endangered Species Act. A New York State appeals court has sided with gubernatorial candidate Bruce Blakeman in his fight for matching campaign funds. Blakeman sued the board that oversees public campaign money over its decision to cut him out over a paperwork error. It's not clear yet if the board will take the case to the state's highest court. Among the topics that just don't seem to drop out of the news cycle this year is redistricting. For this week's episode of The Making of Us, WSHU's Molly Ingram looks into the history of gerrymandering and why it's become such a powerful partisan tool.
Redistricting is a hot topic right now, but it's far from new. The Constitution tasks each state with redrawing their election district maps with information from the census, and it's been done for hundreds of years. Some states have legislators draw them. Others have independent commissions. There are several ways to do it. Doug Spencer is a law professor at the University of Colorado Boulder.
There's always been a tension between the people who are elected getting to choose which voters will vote for them and the voters choosing the people who are going to elect them. And that's been around since the beginning of this country.
But things have gotten increasingly contentious throughout history. Redistricting is required every 10 years, but some states, especially recently, have chosen to redistrict mid-decade, with some tripping over themselves and breaking their own laws in the process. The process is especially dicey with maps for the U.S. House of Representatives. States are each allowed a certain number of seats in the House based on how many people live there. California has the most with 52. Several states, like South Dakota and Vermont, only have one.
And the reason it's more complicated is because we have individual states drawing maps that will have an impact on people who live outside of their state. So the map that gets drawn in South Carolina impacts people in California.
A big part of the problem is something called gerrymandering. The term was coined by the Boston Gazette in the early 19th century, named after Massachusetts Governor Elbridge Gerry. Gerrymandering is when the lines are drawn in a way that purposely benefits one group. That group could be Democrats or Republicans. It can also be an ethnic or racial group. The Supreme Court ruled gerrymandering was unconstitutional in 1973, in 1986, and in 2004. But
while the Supreme Court said that gerrymandering was a problem, they never were able to develop a standard that could tell people why one map was worse than the other. And so states began to test the boundaries. And in 2019, the Supreme Court said, it's too challenging for us to referee these boundaries, so we're getting out of the game altogether. And that gave a green light to states to push the boundaries even further.
The Voting Rights Act, passed in 1965, made it illegal to dilute the votes of an ethnic minority group by gerrymandering.
As a numerical minority, you know, Black and Hispanic and Asian voters were never going to have a majority of seats. But it turned out that the districts were drawn in a way that these non-white groups never got any seats in any body of government because they were basically redistricted to be a minority in every single district. And the Voting Rights Act changed that.
However, recent Supreme Court decisions have challenged the VRA. In April, six justices ruled that Louisiana had violated the Constitution by redrawing congressional maps to give Black voters more power, even though they were abiding by the Voting Rights Act when they were drawing the maps. Spencer says he sees a scenario where every Democratic-led state is solidly blue and every Republican-led state is solidly red.
In the next 5, 10, 15 years, I expect every state to have safe districts that benefit the power of the party that controls that state. Every state will basically look like the Electoral College.
The Supreme Court has signaled that they would referee the process if Congress gives them boundaries, but that would require members of Congress to make decisions that could ultimately lose them their seats. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
This is WSHU's Bird Song Break. This week's bird is the common grackle. This iridescent black bird can be found in semi-open areas around our region. You'll often notice them in large flocks, and they eat just about anything. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Birdsong Break featuring the common grackle this week. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Visit WSHU.org for more. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream online, or download the free WSHU app. And for even more content from us, check us out on Instagram. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday.